Hi folks, this is Sam from Financial Samurai, and today we're going to talk about how to get your spouse to go back to work after having a baby. I was going to entitle it, How to Get Your Wife to Go Back to Work, but then I thought that'd be sexist and I'd get skewered by the community. So let's talk about spouse, because there's equality in raising a baby at home. So I realized something quite surprising the other day. So ever since my son was born, I've felt incredible financial pressure to provide. It didn't matter how much in the bank I had or how much the stock rebounded from its 2018 lows. I constantly felt this pressure. And it made me wonder whether this type of pressure is simply hardwired into a parent's brain in order to ensure the survival of our species. You know, when I'm eating a steak or something, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I shouldn't eat too much steak and put too much sour cream in that baked potato because I might clog my arteries, get fat, and then die early, and then I won't be able to see my son grow up. So I think there's some kind of genetic hardwiring going on. And when I asked my wife whether she feels the same pressure to financially provide, she admitted she did not. After all, she has me. Her pressure is to ensure that our boy gets cared for and loved for and survives. And as a father, I feel that same pressure, but probably not as intensely as she does. And it's interesting, feelings are your own feelings. You just can't figure out whether other people have similar feelings, the same magnitude, intensity of feelings. You just have to respect other people's feelings and what they tell you. So we both agreed that we'd be stay-at-home parents at least until our boy was eligible for preschool at 2 years, 5 months old. After he comes of age, we'd have the freedom to do whatever we wanted. And as the sole financial provider, one of the logical ideas I had was to go back to work. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You could, or I could, earn more money, get subsidized healthcare, and let me assimilate back into the Borg, and then I'll take orders from people who maybe I don't respect or who don't know what they're doing. I mean, that would be amazing, right? No, not really. So, going back to work kind of sucks in my mind. I hate commuting. That's like the worst. Office politics, being told what to do, blah, right? So since we both believe in equality, I asked my wife whether it would be okay if she went back to work instead of me. After all, being a stay-at-home dad is easier once a child is weaned. And you spend more time with dad, probably get a better relationship with dad since you've been spending more time with mom in the first 2 years of your life due to the weaning and so forth. So when I asked my wife, she said, she didn't say anything. She responded with a frowny face. You know, maybe a pouty lip even. She didn't want to go back to work at all. She doesn't want to be away from my boy at all. She tried to allay my fears that everything would be all right. You know, we got the passive income. We've got some active income from Financial Samurai. We're pretty frugal. You know, we're not flying private jets or nothing. But unfortunately, I wasn't quite convinced. So I came up with a plan. And let me tell you a little story. I've spoken to dozens and dozens of fathers who feel trapped by the increased pressure of having to provide financially after having children. You gotta wonder, why do couples divorce after having children? I mean, that makes no sense since a child is better in an environment with double love than single love. And I think it's money. Money is stressful. We just think about the financial pressures. No matter how much you have, you just have to feel like you need to provide. And if it's only one spouse feeling that pressure, things could go awry. But here's the thing. You not going back to work as the parent could actually be a big risk on you. It could pose financial ruin on you. You know, at the very least, I think everybody should go back to work part-time in their field of expertise. Take my friend Nancy, for example. She went to Amherst College and then to Northwestern for a master's in journalism. These are two extremely expensive private schools, and she graduated with about $45,000 in student loan debt. And for 8 years after Northwestern, she worked as a journalist and a nonfiction writer for a major media publication. Then she was blessed with a son, praise be, for the next 10 years, and was a stay-at-home mom. Unfortunately, she and her husband decided to divorce after 13 years, as it seems quite common nowadays. Although she received alimony, it was limited to 2 years. And during those 2 years, she tried to find full-time employment, but she could not. And why not? It was simply because she had not written a single piece of published literature in over 10 years. She was too busy being a mom, which is the most important job one can have as a parent. She ended up making $8,000 in freelance income her first year, which is respectable. And then $22,000 in freelance income her second year. That's great growth. Unfortunately, she lives in Manhattan, and her lifestyle was over $100,000 a year, so she had to move out and significantly cut her spending and draw from her retirement savings, which she got some in the divorce, but it's not going to last forever. So if you rely on a partner or a spouse for money, what happens if you one day suddenly find yourself alone? You could either go through a divorce, lose your spouse to an untimely death, not have the proper estate planning in place, which would be really, really a shame and a self-inflicted wound, in my opinion, or fall victim to financial mismanagement. A lot of things can happen, folks. So please, please be financially independent of each other as well. Be financially dependent is the worst. We all have about a 2 to 3 year grace period to take a break from work, to raise a family, go to graduate school, or travel around the world before a prospective employer starts souring on our time away. It might not be souring, just maybe doubts that you might be the best candidate when someone has been grinding away for 40 to 70 hours a day for 3 years while you were away. It's no judgment against you for wanting to be a parent. It's just life. And a business needs to hire the person who's been most involved in the work that they're trying to hire. So I think it's imperative that all of us continue to keep our skills sharp despite being stay-at-home parents. So I've done my research, folks, and I figured out a number of ways to encourage your spouse to go back to work after having a baby. One, treat your spouse as an equal partner. Equality is awesome. If your spouse has worked a lower number of years than you because he or she is younger, seek your spouse's agreement to at least match your number of years worked. It's very hard to argue against equality, folks. If you are the male, then you absolutely must step up in the parenting department if she goes back to work. And vice versa. But actually, probably not vice versa, because as the mom, she's probably doing way more than the dad anyway in the first years of life. Two, discuss negative what-if scenarios. We never think something bad will happen to us, but bad things happen all the time, unfortunately. That's why we plan and try to prepare ahead. Discuss how having subsidized healthcare and a steady paycheck can be beneficial to your family in times of financial difficulty. Maybe a recession is coming, who knows? Three, discuss the rewards of work. The rewards of work. There has to be something meaningful to work, otherwise why do hundreds of millions of people go to work every day? It just can't be for the money. I mean, probably is a majority reason, but maybe your spouse's work can help improve the lives of other people around them. Next, highlight the positives of letting your child become more independent. Having parents, you know, care for the child 24/7 is nice, but eventually you're going to want to wean the child off of their dependence to you. You know, we all know if you're a parent, you know, the temper tantrums or you know, the anxiety the child feels when you walk out of the room and they're not used to it. So if you can give them some independence, I think that's pretty good for, you know, social development and social skills. Next, I think it's number six, discuss the failure of other relationships. Since we all know some relationship that has ended in a divorce or separation after kids, let's just talk about them and say, is there a reason why they failed? Was money an issue? Was resentment an issue? Was not allowing one spouse to fulfill his or her career an issue? Talk about that and discuss and decide you don't want to be like that. How can you fix it? Next, highlight the gender wage gap, right? Many women say they only earn roughly 82% of what men make for the same amount of work. There's a lot of debate there. But take it into consideration. If you're the husband, say, hey, you want to fight for that gender wage gap, gender equality. You want to narrow that gap. You know, if you can go back to work and climb that corporate ladder and make more money, you will be the fighter for women. And that will be just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I mean, how do you argue against that, right? That's awesome. Next, discuss the positive influence of a working mom has on her daughter. According to a study by Harvard Business School professor McGinn, the daughters of employed mothers often perform better in their eventual careers than daughters of stay-at-home moms. compared to women whose mother stayed at home full-time, women raised by an employed mother are 1.21 times more likely to be employed and 1.29 times more likely to supervise others at work. And they spend 44 extra minutes at their jobs each week. Yay, more time at work. They also earn more money in their careers. Next, be honest about your anxiety and stress. If you are the parent responsible for most or all of the income, then have an open discussion of how going back to work may help alleviate your stress and improve your marriage. At the end of the day, you guys are a team and you need to adjust with the times, right? I remember when I left work in 2012, I thought $80,000 a year to $100,000 passive income, good enough. And then when my wife left work several years later, I thought, well, two people now, we should do $200,000. And then when our son was born in 2017, I was like, I think we should get $250,000 or maybe $300,000, right? You know, life changes, more responsibility, more money is often necessary. And then finally, here's a good one. Remind your spouse the cost of his or her education. We spend 13 years attending kindergarten to 12th grade. That's mandatory. And if your spouse so happens to be a college graduate, then that's another, on average, 3.5 to 5 years time spent on education. Think about all the studying and the money and the effort. Ooh, you don't want to put that to waste. You want to leverage that as much as possible. And then let's not even talk about spouses who go to graduate school and then spend, you know, just a couple years, maybe 5 years, I don't know, after graduate school and then becomes a stay-at-home parent. That's not a good financial return unless you find, you know, your spouse in graduate school who ends up making a whole ton of money. So I hope you guys appreciate my strategies for convincing your spouse to go back to work after having a baby. If it's not full-time work, at least it should be part-time work. And if it's not part-time work, well, at least do some continuing education online to keep those skills sharp, just in case. It's to protect them. If you truly love them, you want to protect them. And it's a great way to protect your own household as well, especially if you have children, which is the point of this podcast. Now, I wanted to tell everybody that I successfully convinced my wife to go back to work full-time come this fall, but the truth of the matter is I am still trying to work on that, so I've failed, but I won't give up. I won't give up in this name, in the sake of equality. I believe that my wife can go back to work and maybe make a couple $100,000 plus RSUs and allow this old man to breathe easy again and not feel this constant strain, but there might be another way. Maybe the other way is, hey, once our son goes to preschool, my wife can actually work more on Financial Samurai, whether it's podcast editing, because I don't edit this podcast at all, whether it's writing more posts and pages or doing business development or whatnot. Sounds like a no-brainer good idea, folks, but who knows the future? The only thing we can do now is to pontificate and to plan ahead. So thanks so much, folks. Just remember, when your spouse is having a bad day, it's probably because of you and other factors. So be nice, be thoughtful, listen, encourage them, and try to put your thoughts and feelings aside and just be 100% attentive to listening to their needs. Thanks so much.